This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome back. This is Twin Peaks Investing, podcast number 64, part B. And in part A, you, ladies and gents, had the pleasure of listening to Katarina Ali at _MTAUS, an absolutely fantastic interview that we had covering all things Metaverse, ASX, US stocks, Apple, Salesforce, NFTs, you name it. Oh, mate, that was an absolutely phenomenal listen. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you did, please share your feedback with us on Twitter mainly, and also YouTube, etc. And just tell us what you thought of what Katarina had to say. And please do follow her on that Twitter account as well. Pete, we're carrying on, mate. We're rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, that interview with Kat was fantastic. So that, we covered a lot in part one about the markets. I just want to add about a couple of things about the markets at the moment. Because we're recording this on Wednesday, the 15th of December. And as it stands, I mean, to be honest with you, because we're recording this really early because of the time difference. So it's actually 11:28 in the morning now. Oh, my God, I wouldn't normally be out of bed. What's going on, mate?
We'll do special things when we have a lady present, Pete. We have exactly. Quality. Yeah, we rise
for
quality,
people say I do
mate.
Special things for a lady, but anyway, let's...
Well, I didn't mean it that quite like that
let's
way.
Let's just skip
Don't
that.
Go anyway. Down that route, mate. You know what I meant.
So as we're talking, I'm just scanning through my portfolio and just seeing what it's like today. And it's pretty much as I sort of seen it before we started the call. And basically, we're in a situation where, you know, today the FTSE 100 is a little bit soggy, but we're in this sort of thing where we're in the days around Christmas. You know, we're a week away from Christmas Day, pretty much. We're nearly, yeah, we're sort of midway through this week on the Wednesday. We got the Fed making a decision tomorrow and whatever. We got the Bank of England making a decision tomorrow. Bank of England's probably going to keep the rates on hold, I would guess. And I don't know if the Fed's going to do much. It'll probably just taper a bit more on its quantitative easing. But we're in this funny period. It's like, you know, it's been quite a difficult, definitely a difficult 2 or 3 months. And it's been quite a difficult recent days, you know, after a bit of a rally last week. Recent days this week have been blinking hard work, really, and quite depressing. But the interesting thing is there's no volume around, and this is exaggerating the moves. And I was saying on Twitter earlier, it's like, you know, okay, I look at my portfolio and there's a lot of red on it, but there is actually a lot of blue as well. And the blue is helping to offset the damage from the red. And what it's really telling us is that even though the markets are soggy and they're frustrating and there's obviously selling involved, it's not one-way selling. When you get a big market sell-off, it's like everybody's selling. There are zero buyers. You know, nobody is buying. Everyone is just dumping their stock. We're in a situation at the moment where there's actually a difference of opinions. There are bulls around. There are obviously loads of bears around, but there are bulls around as well. So you're getting this difference of opinion. Actually, that's quite healthy. You know, that's not a problematic thing, especially this time of year when we're so near to Christmas and it's such a strange time.
Yeah, it's been as you say, soggy. When we last spoke on the 1st of December, Pete, just 2 weeks ago, we were sitting in and around on the FTSE 100. We were sitting at around 7170, those sort of numbers.
Yeah.
For the FTSE, and we had it ebbed. It's ebbed and flowed since then. And actually, the week after the podcast, the morning of the 8th, the actual FTSE rose and had a push. We had a little bit of a mini rally, and everyone was rejoicing. We went to 7,373, And I'd spoken about, you know, that resistance level at 7,400 and needed to get past that. And that would be our, you know, sort of push on if we could maintain that. Mm. But that was almost, you know, when the noise and all the rest of it started again regarding Omicron. And what does it mean and all the rest of it. And the Omicron variant has made people just take a sharp intake of breath again. And the markets have been up, down, up. It's almost every day we're up 0.5% or 1% up and down here, there and everywhere. And people can't, you know, the markets can't make their minds up because we don't know what plan Boris has got. I spoke about, you know, how many U-turns are we going to have, and I don't want the government to be impacting investing, but they are, you know. And so we've gone from 7.3, 7.3-ish on the 8th. We fell down at the beginning of this week to 7,231-ish, and we're down below 7,200 today. There's been a few profit warnings, a bit of scares regarding lockdowns, you know, talking about passports. Can you go in the pub? Can you go, you know, Christmas lunches and Christmas meals and Christmas parties all being cancelled. You know, the hoteliers, the restaurateurs, the publicans are again going to be walking through treacle again to see how many people are going to turn up to be at their venues. That's going to impact markets, Pete. And we're still struggling against inflation. So that range of 7,400 and 7,000 is going to be decisive in a little while. Which way will it go? And it really, really depends on what they say next regarding, you know, what they say next, per se. How many donuts are they going to do, Pete, on that electric vehicle? You know, how many U-turns is Boris going to do? Is Boris going to still have a job in the next 6 months? You know?
Well, that's the other big thing of relevance here is that as we speak on the Wednesday, on the Tuesday, Boris just had his biggest ever defeat in the House of Commons. And that was, you know, that's when you've got a 80-odd seat majority, to be getting nearly, 100 Tory MPs voting against you, that's incredibly serious. He is not the electoral asset that he once was in the Tory party, and they've wised up to it. And I think because of that, you know, it really changes the COVID thing, because it means it's very difficult for Boris to now put in tougher restrictions. You know, basically all Tory MPs, whether they rebelled or not, the consensus seems to be they're all completely against lockdown. And if Boris was to go towards trying to do a lockdown, the rebellion would be immense. There is just no way that could happen. And I think that makes it interesting because it means that, you know, we're probably at the worst in terms of the impact it's going to do to the economy. Yeah, I don't think more restrictions are going to come, or if they do come, they're going to be so minor, it's really going to have no effect whatsoever compared to where
I'm going to have to disagree with you, Pete.
We're going to see
more lockdowns in the UK. The problem this time round, Pete, and they're going to have to be very, very careful, is that I don't know where they're going to print this money from to support it. You know, are they going to carry on with going to reintroduce furlough payments? We haven't got the money. We haven't got the budget for it. Well, can Rishi Sunak afford to pay people?
Invisible.
So you know, people are going to be laid off again, but where would the money come from? So I think, you know, we don't know. I mean, they're all just scaling these numbers, and, you know, we've gone from 100 to 70,000 infections, and then we're going to talk about 200, and we're going to talk about... So I don't know where the numbers are going to come from, but, you know, if the infections are there and people need to be hospitalised because of them, Pete, then we're going to have a problem. You know, we've already been told last week, he came out and said, we're working from home this Monday, working from home. You know, what's he going to say a week on Monday regarding people?
I just think it's going to be incredibly difficult for Boris. Well, there is no way Boris could get the Tory party to vote for lockdown. I think it would need deaths and hospital clogging up problems as worse as the first wave we had.
Does he need to have the Tory party to vote it through to have lockdowns?
Yes, it does. Because otherwise, as soon as he's defeated, letters will go into the 1922 committee and he'll be facing a leadership challenge and he'll lose his job. It really is that black and white. I can't see any way that he can get the Tory party to agree to lockdown. Unless it's absolute Armageddon.
Going to be, well, it's interesting times ahead. As I said to you in the last podcast, Pete, there's lots of uncertainty. I'm quite cautious at the moment regarding the markets. We almost actually took out the 52-week high, which we didn't. We've now got just got over 2 weeks of trading to go in the markets for the year. Some people are expecting a rally. I don't know, given Omicron going the way it's going and Boris being, you know, on thin ice, whether or not we're going to see the Christmas rally. I want to see the Christmas rally, as I said before. I want to see the Santa rally. I want to see the markets do well. I want to see people's portfolios doing okay and well. But right now, I remain cautious. I've been trimming various stocks. The markets have been volatile up and down. I've been using the markets for when they go up to trim stuff. I'm not waiting for the markets to go sub 7,000 to decide I need to trim a stock that I should have trimmed 3 weeks, 4 months ago. And unfortunately, what's happening, Pete, with some of the beloved stocks, as you've spoken about via Twitter, it's not you mentioned this AIM trash and all the rest of it. Some of the AIM stocks have actually done very, very well. And it's the favoured AIM stocks and the favoured FTSE stocks that have been spanked year to date. Many of them are down, Pete.
Oh, well, mate, I've looked at some of the performances of some shares and it's absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. You know, I'm seeing shares that have dropped 90% from where they were in the summer. And it's incredible. And it's been relentless. And I really feel for people because I know there's a lot of people out there whose portfolios are down 10%, 20%, 30%, 40% on the year. And people whose portfolio was up 30, 40% back in the summer, and now it's butchered. And
I feel for him, Pete. I think one of the concerning things, and we've touched on this before, is the clustering, Pete. There appears to be a lot of people in the same stocks. And invariably, if everyone's selling because obviously the stock's rolled over, there's an absolute stampede, and therefore the price just rolls and carries on rolling. And you think, oh, the bottom's in, and then there's more people, you know, being triggered because it's gone down a further 10% and another 10%. And one of the favoured stocks, and we've spoken about this, and I said, you know, nearly 2 years ago now, I'm staying away from this stock until all the stuff is finished with it. And it's one that you hold, Boohoo.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's down 50%, Pete. Everyone loves that stock.
It's been remarkable.
Is it sub 150? It's been as high as £3.70. £3.78 is the 52-week high, and it's at 147 now. And people keep calling the bottom for the past 3, 4, 5 months, and it keeps going further down.
It's a great lesson in falling knives. It's like whenever you think the bottom is in, it probably isn't. and it can just keep falling. And I was commenting on Twitter last night saying, you know, it's on something like a forward PE of 14. I just can't imagine that. I mean, it's historically, it's been on a PE of 40, and it's been able to justify that by incredibly fast growth rates. And what it's sort of telling us is that either it's ridiculously cheap, which it may be, or it's telling us that there's a profit warning coming, and it's one or the other, and I've no idea what it is.
Did they not just get pulled up, Pete, got fined for saying you're selling things at artificial prices?
Mate, I think that's noise, really. I don't think that's what's driving the share price.
No,
I think,
I'm not saying that's not what's driving it. But the thing is that
there's all sorts of
the stuff we were speaking about before, Pete, was sentiment and trust. And I was saying I just don't trust the management at the minute. They need to clean their act up, sort everything out. And that thing is still rolling on. It's like, come on. If you don't trust the management, you just trust the team, it doesn't matter what the value of the stock is or whether or not their revenues are great. There's just a lack of trust at the minute in that particular company, I think.
Sentiment is so
low. Exactly.
I think what hurt them yesterday was Jules, Jules, whatever, that came out of a profit warning. And what was really nasty about that profit warning is supply chain issues are very much at the bottom of it. And it's like, what companies have been saying up until now is that, yeah, they're saying we've got supply chain problems, but it's okay. We're passing the costs on to the customer. Or they've said we've got supply chain problems, but we can absorb it by cost reductions elsewhere or whatever. Yeah. But what was different about the dual update was they said we've got supply problems and it means we can't sell as much because we don't have stuff to sell. That's the problem.
Yeah, And it's also impacted ASOS as well, which is also down 40-odd 50% year to date. So a lot of what we thought was, you know, during lockdown, the online companies are going to do far better retail-wise than the bricks and mortar. And the bricks and mortar, the larger ones, have been able to absorb some of the supply chain issues. You know, Tesco's is still doing well. Marks and Spencer's have outperformed ASOS and Jewels and Boohoo, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a big, you know, head change regarding people's thinking, you know, to the point where people are going, I'm buying Marks and Spencer shares instead of Boohoo shares. Who would have thought that 12 months ago?
Incredible. Yeah? But, you know, that's been really noticeable as well, is that smaller stocks, so FTSE 250, AIM and FTSE Small Cap, have all really, really suffered in the last few weeks and months with this sort of malaise. Whereas a FTSE 100 has actually stayed up pretty well, really. You know, and I think, again, we're back to when we talk about strategies and what people can do to reduce these kind of problems, it comes back to a focus on valuation. You know, you've got to have valuation at the forefront of your mind in every single stock you buy. If the valuation doesn't make sense in any shape or form, then if you're buying it, you're just buying a problem and it will bite you in the bum. And the other thing is diversification. You know, if you are just in very risky speculative AIM stocks and you've only got 10 of them, you are going to suffer badly in times like this. And if you can accept that, if you can cope with that, then fine, that's your decision. But it's probably better to have a diversification, to have some FTSE 100 stocks, have some boring stuff, have things that are different strategies. So, for instance, I've got my income portfolio, which is one particular strategy. I've got growth stuff. I've got spread bets. I've got all sorts of things going. I've got unit trust, you know, investment trust. I have all sorts of things going on. There are different strategies. And I think that is really important.
It is, Pete. And I think also it's that element of going back to what we've always said and we keep reiterating here, don't follow the herd. Do your own research. Do your own stock analysis. Don't have people sliding into your DM saying, I think this stock's the best thing since sliced bread. I think you should buy it too because I bought it and I think it's going to go to £5 from 10 pence.
Yeah.
You know, because invariably, a lot of them are just in it for the next 5, 10%. They've got no interest in talking about it again once it's rolled over. A lot of the stocks that have rolled over and haven't done so well this year, a lot of the people that were the main cheerleaders of that stock, they've disappeared. You know, you don't hear from them anymore. You know, there were people at the beginning of January, February last year that were daily talking about how well their portfolios were doing. You know, then it rolled over to once a week. Then it rolled over to once a month. And for the past 3 months, their accounts have been mute. You know, because they've not done so well. So, you know, I was asked a question via a chap called Michael, who's not much on Twitter anymore. And he was basically saying, how do I find the right people to follow on Twitter? And the question is, you've got to be very, very careful. You know, look at their accounts. When they come out and say, oh, I've been buying this for the past week because the stock's suddenly up 5, 10, 15%. Have a look back and see if they mentioned it a week or so ago. You know, have a look at how consistently they talk about the stocks that aren't doing very well. Not about the stocks that's doing well. You know, what level of humility have they got when the stocks are doing well? What level of humility have they got when the stocks aren't doing very well? You know, and how much are they actually sharing? You know, what quality of information are they actually sharing regarding, you know, enhancing the quality of your learning regarding investing? Yeah.
You know, there's so many accounts that people just need to be incredibly wary of. Mate, on a mindset thing that I keep meaning to bring up on a podcast and I keep forgetting, I talk to and sort of mentor quite a few people. And one of the things that comes up quite a lot, and I just must mention this because it's sort of funny in a way, but it's actually, there's a really good point behind it. And it's this idea that when you buy a stock, right, when anybody buys a stock, what so many people do, and it's a classic thing with newbies, yeah, is they look at a stock and they do their search, whatever, they buy it, right? And say, for instance, they put 5,000 quid into it, yeah? Their mindset is, I've just bought 5,000 quid's worth of this stock. In a few months or in a few years, it'll be worth 10,000 quid. And when it's 10,000 quid, this is what I'm going to do with the 10,000 quid, Yeah. So it's like they've already mentally banked the profit, but they've only just bought the goddamn share, you know? And I see it so many times. And really, the mindset that would be better, and the mindset that I certainly have, is whenever I buy a stock and I've bought 5 grand of a stock, my brain is saying, well, my mindset is saying, sheesh, I've just put 5,000 quid of my hard-earned money into this company. I've got to be really careful now because this could go very badly wrong and it could fall 50% tomorrow, you know? And it's more about protecting it, the capital, from that downside and having strategies such as diversification to make that less of a problem than this idea that I put 5,000 quid in and hey, tomorrow it's going to be worth 10,000.
That's a very, very good way of putting it, Pete. And I think it's very, very important. I think there's the thing where the mindset is so important in the sense of investing for the long term and not just spend, putting the money in and expecting, just to win. Buying a stake in the company, you've actually bought a stake. You should be happy, as Buffett says, for the markets to shut down for 10 years and come back. But you touched on it earlier. Katarina's talked about swing trading. Whether that be for one day or for 2 months. A lot of the investors per se now are swing traders. So they're momentum investors. So they're in for the very, very short term. They're expecting that 5 grand that they've invested to be 6 grand in the space of a week or 2 weeks or whatever. And they're buying it on what will the update be? What will be the full year results be? And therefore, they're in it and they're expecting a result overnight. We've seen it just recently, Pete, with BT. Drahi has come out and said he's increased his percentage from, I think it was 12 and a bit, 13, so to up to 18, and the share price went down. Why did the share price go down? Because everyone was expect well, so, sorry, some people that are traders and speculators were expecting Drahi to come out after the 10th of December and say, I've increased my stake in BT. Or I'm looking to buy the whole of BT lock, stock and barrel, and the share price jumps to £2, £2.20, or whatever, and they've made their 10, 20, 30%. That was the expectation. It didn't happen. The share sold off about 6% at one stage, 7% in the morning, because the short term is Pete.
Oh yeah, and it's fine to be a short-term trader, but
Absolutely, it is. Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
are, it's a very different discipline to being a long-term investor. And there aren't many people who can marry the two, I find. There are exceptions like Kat who can clearly do it. But it's a rare beast that is good at both of those disciplines, and I think.
But you have two different portfolios for that, Pete. You have you've got your Spreadbet account, which is different to your investing account, and you do some trading. Michael does primarily trading, but he does a tiny little bit of investing. So you have to decide which one you are. And I think if you're saying I'm an investor and I bought this stock, and I've got it as a core holding, if it has a blip or it has one trading update that isn't great, and the share price become cheaper than you bought it, if you bought it for the long term, then why aren't you buying some more? Or why aren't you waiting to see what happens to it over the next 3 months to see if the share price bounces? Because sometimes it's just a case of that one trading update had to incorporate that bad set of data, and the next set of data could be better.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point. It's like, it's that classic thing. And again, Kat kept mentioning this in the call. She kept talking about her plan, her trading plan. And even if you're a short-term trader, I mean, a trading plan is essential. So what price you're entering, what price you're exiting, stop losses and targets, all that kind of stuff. It's essential. And when you're a long-term investor, you can use a similar kind of approach, and there's a lot of sense to that. Definitely a lot of sense to that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe, and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
I wanted to talk, Pete, a little bit about have you heard of Tremor?
What's that? Oh, TRMR.
TRMR,
No, I never heard of it, mate. Never heard of it.
I know you have. So that's a stock that I've had on my radar forever, and I used to hold it in a former guise, and the stock's done exceptionally well, from last November, it was just hovering in and around a sort of trading range, and it broke out. So it was down at 131, yeah, last July, Pete. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it broke out of its trading range, which is essentially £2. From £1 to £2, it broke out, and it just absolutely just went on a tear the whole of the latter part of last year and this year, and it peaked out at £8.70. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking, you know what? It's gone to £3. I've missed a boat here, and it just carried on, and it enriched so many people that were holding that stock, and it's been on my radar forever. I refuse to chase it, right? So it then peaks out at £8.70, yeah, and it's listed in the US as well now, I believe, or it's about to, and it's rolling over now at £5. It should go sub £5 at some stage in the next week or so, because the sellers are just like racing out the door. But that is one that's on my radar that's rolling over, and at some point it'll be worth buying. For me, it'll be worth buying. For other people that are holding it and held it from £4 or £2 even, or sub £2, it's a case of what do they do? Do they average up and buy some more at £5 or £4? Or do they lock in their profits? You know, it's a solid company, it's done reasonably well, but you know, the sentiment and the momentum and the investors and traders that were buying it all the way up to £8 are happy to sell it now at £5.
Do you know, it's amazing, because looking at the chart, it's got the classic chart that we're seeing on so many things now, where it's just making new lows, it's a falling knife. So it's really not a very great buy at this second. However, I'm looking on SharePad, and the forecast PE is now 9.7. The 2-year forecast PE is 12.5, which is interesting in itself, because that implies, because the numbers are going the wrong way, so it's 9.7 for next year, 12.5 the year after. Really, if earnings are growing, the PE should be coming down. So I find that a bit strange. So anyone looking at investing in TRMR or holding it needs to look into that and understand, why are those earnings expected to fall? What is going on there? Is there a placing? Is it something to do with the listing in America? So there's more shares being issued, so that's affecting the PE? I don't know. That's a bit strange. But anyway, on the face of it, if those PE numbers are right, that's actually not a massively overvalued stock just on raw numbers.
Absolutely. I mean, it's done. I mean, despite it rolling over, Pete, it's up 48%-ish for people that held it over the last 12 months, you know, and some, the people that I know that hold it have held it from £1.50, £2, £3, and have done exceptionally well with it. And obviously better when it was above £8. So it's a quality company. It's one to keep an eye on, and could be worth further research over the Christmas period as to see what's going on.
What do they actually do? Because am I right in thinking that they bought what used to be Rhythm One, didn't they? You know, that sort of video search engine thing that used to be part of Autonomy million years ago. Was it called Rhythm One? Something like that.
I don't remember that bit, Pete. It's basically an advertising technology company, Pete, the long and short of it. Focused on digital advertising, including video, mobile, display technology, and all those things. It's an advertising company, essentially.
That's a mate. I'll tell you what, that online advertising, PR, marketing, search, all that kind of stuff, it is mega growth.
It's such a great sector. So that's what it's involved in.
If those numbers are right, I need to understand why the forecast seems a bit weird. But if those numbers are right, you could almost say that was cheap. You know what I mean? Those are blinking low numbers for that kind of sector.
So, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting, mate. It's going to be very, very interesting regarding that particular stock. I just like the space it's in, mate.
Yeah.
So the American depository shares are also TRMR on that particular one. We shall see how that goes.
Advertising, marketing, digital media thing. A stock I noticed, might have been yesterday or the day before, come out with a really good update again. I say again, because I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this company on a podcast before. It's not a stock I hold, so I'm not ramping. Right, this one is NFC, which I think used to be called Next 15 Communications. And, you know, does marketing, does digital stuff, and it's the digital is just going absolutely gangbusters. It's fantastic. And I'm just looking on SharePad now, and that's showing forecast PE of 22.8 and a two-year forecast PE of 21.4, which is interesting in itself because there's not much difference in those numbers, which suggests that the forecasts aren't expecting much growth. I bet you that forecast might be wrong because, you know, it's such a hot sector. There's a little bit of dividend, not a lot, 0.8%, 1%, a little bit of borrowing. But, you know, I don't hold it, but maybe I should. Do you know what I mean?
Next communications, Pete. It's been on an absolute tear again. It's
beautiful chart.
12 months, up 147%, mate. Year to date, 129%. You know, market cap 1.14 billion. So it's a good size as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the podcast a while ago, and people who were lucky enough to be in it or bought it or whatever, they've done well. So yeah, fair play to them. Brilliant.
Yeah,
I wish I'd bloody bought it.
Well, this is it. We tend to share quite a lot of stocks here for folks to research, and they've done it exceptionally well. Some of the stocks that we spoke about earlier on in the year, day two have rolled over after having exceptional gains as well. I wanted to talk a little bit, Pete, as well about some of they call them in America meme stocks, Pete.
Yeah.
But before I do that, I want you to have a break here and talk about the charity push that we've been pushing. All year long, and then we'll talk about meme stocks. I wanted to talk firstly about the Memphis Christmas list, which some of you, ladies and gents, wherever you are in the world, have been very, very kind enough to help support. And this is for those, obviously we might have some other listeners still listening now in Australia that haven't listened before. What we've been doing on here is trying to raise money for a disabled children's charity. It's called Memphis. It's based in Leicestershire in England. And it basically supports the young disabled children with activities and supports them with their families and so on and so forth. And we've been trying to raise money for them. And at this time of the year, what Memphis does is we deliver Christmas presents to some of these young children. And we've also, one of the other chaps have been running a Christmas grotto, a sensory grotto for children with a Santa. I've been going for the last two Saturdays to support that event, with families booking to bring their children in and having a grotto specially for those young people. So we've been doing that, and it's been absolutely phenomenal, Pete, just to see some of the faces just light up seeing Santa. And you know,
are you dressed as Santa?
I'm not dressed as Santa, mate. I'm not even dressed as an elf at the moment. It's just beautiful. And basically, each person comes in, and depending on their disability, the grotto is tweaked to them. Some of them have got hearing impairments, sight impairments, and so on and so forth. You know, and some of them don't like noise, so we make it all quiet. So it's been a beautiful experience. But what's been happening, Pete, is that when we started pushing this about, I think, two podcasts ago, we were barely at 9,000 raised, and the target was 15,000 because we'd purchased 1,000 presents the time before last year. We're only at 9,000, so that's £15,000 essentially. We're at 9,000, and we're currently up at 11,249.
Okay, it's going the right way. Brilliant.
Going the right way, and some of our listeners have been very, very kind enough to also support that particular charity push. And one of those is Investor Midlife, and he's donated. Or she's donated, £70 plus £15 gift aid, and wrote a great cause. Happy Christmas to all the families and children you have helped. We've had a few more as well that made a donation. I'm just trying to get through this list. And it's not updating for some reason.
Dude, IT, mate, technology. IT.
Anyway, so I can't shout out the other names, so apologies for that. But I wanted to just thank everybody that's gone across and donated to the Christmas charity list. We're going to be going out in the next 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks, and delivering some of those presents door to door to get those presents delivered to certain people. Our charity push which is the Twin Peaks Challenge, which you can find at justgiving.com fundraising Twin Peaks Challenge. We had a target of £2,500 to raise initially back in February of this year. As we speak today, we are sitting at £19,442.
Oh, epic.
We still would love to crack that 20,000 number. So there's still time, if you've not made a donation yet, to get onto that Just Giving page and make a donation. Please, please, please do so if you possibly can. Our recent donors include Simon, who's donated £20 plus £5 gift aid. Yeah, and Simon wrote, "Keep those podcasts coming. Merry Christmas to you both."
Excellent.
Kevin S donated £20 and £5 gift aid. "Well done, guys. You do a fantastic service to investors, and your charity work on top is brilliant to see. Keep up the fantastic work. Wishing you both a happy Christmas, Kevin."
Oh, so, yeah. Good man, Kevin. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Mate. Buster, "As a parent of a disabled child, although not in Leicestershire, well done for support of this charity. The podcasts are not too bad either. £20 plus £5 gift aid."
I love that. He's got our sense of humour. I like that.
Yes, he most certainly has. Teresa, "Well done for raising funds for the fantastic cause. £10 plus £2.50 gift aid." Aaron L, "Long-time podcast listener, whilst out running and driving to work. Thanks for all the insight, and well done in raising so much of such a large amount for this great charity. £15 plus £5 gift aid."
Who was that?
That was Aaron L.
Aaron L. Okay. Well, thanks, yeah. Aaron. That's fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
Patsy at Pat Exy. I think you know that person, Pete.
Yeah. I know Pat well. Yeah. Thanks, Pat.
Pat Exy. "Top up donation, sharing success in a 2 month trade in Telecom Plus after a discussion with Wheelie and some others in the pub back in August. I hope it's 20k before the end of the year, Pat." So that's down to you, Pete, and your other pub crew talking about Telecom Plus. So thank you, Pat. See?
They're just good guys, you know. So
yeah,
I have a great time meeting up with them. So yeah, brilliant.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Nice one.
Mark Brotherton in Edinburgh. "What amazing work you are both doing with the entertaining and informative podcast and helping children get the care and compassion they deserve. Hope this small donation helps in some way. £100 plus £25 gift aid." Oh, Mark, that's phenomenal, mate. Thank you ever so much for that. And I did notice this one going in, Pete, and I had to speak to this person directly and say I'm not going to allow it to remain anonymous. So to Conkers and Wheelie, "Thanks for some great podcasts this year and all your excellent work for Memphis. You are inspirational for so many people. All the best. £500 plus £125 gift aid." And that, Pete, was from Alex Schlick at Y-Stone Advisory, who we've been supporting.
Alex.
What we said initially was that we try and promote the platform because Alex does PR for lots of different listed companies, some brilliant companies, and we'll be doing more so over the year. But I spoke to Alex and I rang him on the phone and I said, "Mate, that's absolutely phenomenal." You know, so for those that haven't found Alex yet, on Twitter at Y-Stone Advisory, Yellowstone Advisory do PR with AIM, FTSE listed companies, and some companies, I think they're looking at overseas companies as well, Blue Chip as well. Well worth a follow. Well worth listening to some of the things that he's got to share. Well worth following the account, but also well worth attending some of Yellowstone's advisory's seminars with some phenomenal companies. And it's great to actually listen to some of the CEOs, CFOs and leaders of these businesses to actually see what they're saying about what's actually happening regarding their stocks, but also happening about their company and the supply chain. It gives you the nuance of what they're fighting out there just to be able to stay profitable. So I really advise people to follow that account. So yeah, so that was one of our pushes over the 18,000 and pushed us over to the 19, and we're pushing on from there. We had Digger Barnes, "Absolutely love your podcast. I listen to it on weekly drives to and from Barnsley to London for work." That's some trek, Barnsley to London, mate. Well done. Wishing you both the best of health. Keep up the kindness, and very inspiring. £40 plus gift aid. Terry has continued to make his weekly or podcast donation of £2, which I'm going to match.
Yes, Terry.
Gavin Ho, Howe, well done and a great podcast. I listen whilst walking the dog on 2 speed. That's speeding up the actual listening to us at 2 speed. Can you imagine that,
Peter?
Oh my gosh. So you both sound like you both had too much coffee, exclamation mark. Congratulations, raising a terrific sum of money for such a great cause. £200 plus £5 gift aid.
Yes, right.
And Scott Porter, £10 plus gift aid. I wanted to go back, Scott, as well, to our good friend Vonnie, who actually donated a significant amount of money to the Christmas fundraise as well, Pete.
Presents, yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, the Christmas present list. And she did that, and I'd taken her to introduce her to the Memphis Hub when I interviewed Richard Whitehead, and showed her what the charity was up to. We had a quick chat about it. She came up with some brilliant ideas, bless her, regarding some stuff that we could do, because at the hub as well, it houses the local library, or the village library.
Yeah.
Well, and she's like, "Oh, you've got a bar. Ooh. Coffee, wine, books. Oh, there's an idea there." You know what I mean?
Excellent.
So Vonnie and I are going back to speak with the team leaders and the management there to see about putting something together regarding possibly a book club or an investing club that could be utilised in the hub, and a few other ideas. But definitely worth a follow, because Vonnie's always up to lots of interesting things. Another lady that's out there wanting to learn and do lots of things. She's already involved in the trading, involved in the investing side of it. And that lady you can find at @VONIE_LEA_ at Vonnie Leah.
So, it's two N's, isn't it? Two N's.
Two N's, yeah. VONNI, sorry. Yeah. Two N's. So, yeah, that's where we are. If you can, please support the Christmas list. If you can, please support the Twin Peaks Challenge and get us over the 20,000 mark. All the monies regarding that is going to be helping to buy a big piece of kit for disabled children. And the Christmas list, obviously, we're going to buy some presents for the kids to just bring some joy to their little hearts during the Christmas time. Because, you know, some of them are very disadvantaged at this time of year. They're not going to get a lot of gifts. And if we can, we're going to try and help them out as best as we possibly can. So thank you all for your kindness. Thank you all for your continued support. We really, really, really appreciate it. And the Memphis staff, obviously, are really, really thrilled that we've been supporting them this year.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And thanks to everyone for your contribution. It's been brilliant.
Cool, Pete. So where do you want to start, Pete? Or do you want me to jump into the meme stocks?
Yeah, do them meme stocks, mate. Let's do them. Because I looked at some out of interest the other day. Is it GameStop and AMC?
Yeah, yeah. Some of those. Yeah,
just,
yeah.
So, if you remember, the story was that these were things where, what was it? It was democratizing finance. It was
but a lot of this was from the Reddit crew, and some of them made a small fortunes from having these stocks that were heavily shorted, Pete, or near bankruptcy, or had, you know, had declared bankruptcy. And the most notable one was obviously GameStop, and AMC was another one. And yeah. I was looking at a data that came out on the 13th, which is just a couple of days ago, on Monday, after the close of the markets. And some of these stocks were down significantly from their 52-week highs. So AMC, ticker symbol, $AMC, was down 68%. Bed Bath & Beyond, ticker symbol, $BBBY, was down 69%. BlackBerry was down, ticker symbol, BB, was down 70%. Beyond Meat, which is the alternative meat one, which IPO'd and went off absolutely flying out of the traps, and everyone was chasing that stock, currently down 71%, ticker symbol BYND. GameStop, which was the poster child almost of the Reddit crew and people buying that stock and chasing that stock and, you know, made people small fortunes, is currently down from 52-week high, 72%. Another one that got onto the radar was Virgin Galactic, ticker symbol space, SPCE, down 76%. And I think another one that most people will not be aware of was one called Tilray. I've not even checked what they do. Is a ticker symbol TLRY. That's down 87%. So the meme stocks are out of favor at the minute. A bit like I said, you know, momentum, traders, noise, storytelling, narrative. You know, people that got in there and purchased those, any of those stocks near the high, are currently have either sold out or sitting there hoping and praying they get back in vogue and get bought and chased up again, because they're down significantly now.
You know, it's back to what I continually repeat. You got to get your head around valuation. If you don't understand valuation and realize its importance, then you're always going to be sucked into these kind of ridiculous things, and you are going to lose lots of money. And I must say, one of the things that cheered me up the other day was a guy called Tony Davies. Hi, Tony. How you doing? He's at T, I think it's TD. I'm just looking. At TDLON. So it's obviously Tony Davies, London. Even I can work that out. And he said hello to me on a DM and stuff on Twitter. And do you know what? I have to say, it was so goddamn refreshing for someone to actually ask me a question about valuations and to talk about what is a realistic PE and how you calculate the PE and whether you do the enterprise value and strip out cash and whatever. I thought, my God, it's such a rare conversation I have. But it's probably one of the most important conversations that anyone could possibly ask me. And I just find it nice one, Tony. Brilliant that you've realized it if loads of other people haven't.
It's interesting, Pete, because I think valuation is going to be coming more and more on the radar. Because the thing is, stocks are being marketed by people that are very, very well revered on Twitter and across social media. And, you know, whether it be a FTSE stock or an AIM stock or a US, you know, Dow Jones 30 stocks, these, you know, S&P stock, people are talking up the merits of these stocks. And some of them are way past valuation metrics that we'd ever imagine we should ever go anywhere near. But because they're being talked about by everybody and everyone's saying this is the best thing since sliced bread, even sensible people will buy the stock.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then suddenly the stock's down 30, 40, 50%. Oh, it's my number one holding. And then the number one holding becomes a number two holding. And then the number two holding doesn't get mentioned again. And it's down 30, 40, 50%. I mean, a classic stock that was revered and talked up and everybody was talking about it at one stage last year was one that can't even get away from a film or a video of being commenting about it. And I'm not sure you saw this, Pete, but Peloton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mate.
Peloton came out of the trap and absolutely soared. It was at £171 or $171, should I say, at its 52-week peak, and it's currently sitting at $39 per share, and it's down 5%. And essentially, Pete, there was a bit of a stink about the Sex in the City video.
It was the remake, isn't it? The new,
and Big injuring himself on a Peloton bike.
Yeah.
And the share price has carried on tanking since then because of the safety stuff, because obviously there were some incidents regarding the Peloton bike, which we don't want to talk about right now. Impacted the share price earlier on this year. But that stock seems to be, you know, in deep trouble right now. And again, valuation was not talked about. It was just a case of this is going to be this and this is going to be that and blah, 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 blah. And the stock's now in deep trouble.
The thing I heard is absolutely classic, that in the remake of Sex in the City, what was it? It's called, what's it called? And Nail This or something, some really weird name.
Yeah.
In the remake, which has been marketed to the hill, at the end, is it Mr. Big or something? Mr. Big dies on a Peloton, has a heart attack or something on a Peloton machine, and after that, the share price tanks. And you just think, how bonkers is that? That just a piece of drama can cause a share price to fall like 9% or something. And then apparently, it was followed up by a clever piece of marketing by Pello. They put out an advert where they had some other, well, I don't know if it was the same, the actor or whatever, and they were basically sort of talking about it and saying, actually, I'm alive. So it was quite clever, and that made the shares go up, and you just think how bonkers this is.
The scary thing about it is, Pete, right, and this is where I think there are going to be some tribulations for the makers of the film, is that Peloton knew its bike would be featured, right? they didn't know it would be used to, you know,
to have
use
a
the
death
word
scene.
to kill somebody.
Oh, my
So
goodness.
I'm not sure what the repercussions are going to be for that, you know, for the makers of that film. I think it was
HBO or something, isn't it?
HBO, that was it. Yeah, they knew that would be featured, and that Mr. Big would portray the instructor, but for confidentiality reason, they didn't tell them that the character would be killed off. Big publicity stunt for them, but they didn't know about the double publicity stunt for the film. So boy, oh boy, it's a talking point for the film, but what will happen now, I do not know regarding those shares. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, so very, very interested.
I was just going to look on SharePad and see what kind of valuation Pello's on now, because obviously Pello was a lockdown winner because everyone was trapped indoors. And so they bought their Peloton bikes and the other gym equipment and stuff and all got into it. But of course, as soon as things opened up, people, you know, the Peloton bike became like a clothes dryer in the corner or something.
Yeah, it's down 74% year to date, Pete, and down 70% over the last 12 months.
So looking on share, I mean, the chart is just, you know, it's just another weak looking chart. But looking at the, oh, well, there's no forecast at all for it. And oh, God, that it's got a $9.7 billion market. That's more, isn't it? I think that's 90. Is that 97 billion? No, it can't be. It must be 9.
It's 13.6 billion market cap as we speak, Pete.
Oh, well, this is in pounds. So, obviously, yeah, so
$13.6 billion. Just under $14 billion.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. You can times that by four. Yeah. And it was over $50 billion recently.
It's just bonkers. One of the things with these, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, money can be made on these kind of stocks. But if you're going to be buying or shorting these kind of stocks to make money, you've got to have a trading plan. You're a trader. You're not an investor. You are a trader. Investments only make sense if you're doing it on the basis of valuation and understanding the company and whatever. If you're just buying something to ride momentum, you are a trader. You need to have a proper strategy. You need to have an entry price, an exit price, the stop loss, the target, all those disciplines. And if you don't have discipline, you're going to end up buying it and getting your ass kicked really bad. And to be honest, you've only got yourself to blame if that happens, really.
You do. But I think it goes back to the conversation we've had before, Pete, is that be very, very careful about the number of people you actually allow influence you. And if you possibly can, don't allow anybody to influence your decision-making process. Do the research. There's some fantastic people on Twitter to learn from. There's some fantastic people to get a little bit of a steer from, in the sense of they're in that stock, and they're actually quite good at researching stocks. But don't take the fact that they bought it as an indication that you should buy it. Go away and do your own research. Have your own criteria as to what value means to you, what this stock looks like for you, and then make a decision. Don't follow somebody else just because they bought the stock. You know, I see so many people doing it. You know, I see so many people sliding into this DM and that DM saying, buy this, buy that. You know, and the minute the stock goes down, there's silence. You know, silence has been deafening for the last 3 or 4 months regarding Twitter and people talking about stocks going down. You and I talk about the stocks going up. You and I talk about the stocks that are going down. You and I talk about the profit warnings and the stocks that have absolutely nailed us and taught us some lessons. You know, and we'll have more lessons next year, Pete. We've been doing this now 20-odd, nearly 30 years, you know, both of us, and we're still learning. Some people know it all already, and I'm like, how can you? How can you when Buffett doesn't know it all already, and Buffett's still making mistakes, and Charlie Munger's still making mistakes? How can you know it all already when these individuals don't? You know, and the beauty of speaking to Kat is that Kat is desperate, and so keen to learn more. And she's not saying she knows it all already. And she's sharing stuff today with us on this podcast. What I haven't got a Scooby-Doo about. I haven't even started learning about the metaverse or NFTs or Bitcoin, Ethereum. I couldn't scratch the surface on what she knows. She's taking the time to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys and ladies need to take the time too, and don't make decisions on other people's research, because they will leave you high and dry nursing a 40, 50, 60, 70% loss. And then you wonder why they come back and start trolling you and start getting angry with you, you know, and say it's your fault their portfolio's down. It's not your fault their portfolio's down, but they did copy you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what do you expect? Mate, do you want to talk about another stock, or do you want to talk about an educational theme, or what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about a former stock that I used to hold, Pete, and one I've not looked at for ages. But again, there's takeover opportunities everywhere, and there's been more and more takeovers coming on the FTSE and AIM stocks. And if you look in, and keep researching the AIM technology related stocks, I think we're going to see more and more takeovers because a lot of them are really, really on their knees. And one of the old favorites from many, many years ago was Tungsten Network, ticker symbol TUNG.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
And I had to go back and through my archives and look at this one. It's one I had, and I sold out a little. I made a bit of a change on it. I sold out at £2.02 back in 2015, Pete, and it was talked about as being this go-to stock, and I was just like, nah. This isn't going very well. It was all about fintech and looking at the supply chain and e-invoicing, as it was called back then, Pete.
Do you
And
know,
I
I
just,
know this one
you
really
remember it,
well.
don't you? Everyone did.
Mate,
Everyone was looking at that stock. It was one of them talked about stock. It was probably the Peloton stock of its day, Pete, back in 2014, 2015.
it
I
was
sold out of it.
Bitcoin,
And
you know.
yesterday there was a takeover for the stock, an offer, or sorry, confirmed an offer at 40 pence, Pete. Yeah, and the stock price went up 30 odd percent. It was at 29 pence, closed at 38 pence. But someone's trying to buy it out. Kofax is looking to buy it out at 40 pence per share. And I'm thinking, crikey, it's just gone nowhere for absolute years, Pete. You know.
Was it Edmund Trewell was the CEO?
I can't remember,
How
mate.
do
I
we
can't
know
remember.
that? I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, it's incredible because what I remember about this one was that someone I know who's not an investor, not a trader, whatever, we're at a party, whatever, and she says to me, "What do you think of tungsten?" And I'm
Pete, you're
thinking,
always out at a pub or at a party with ladies. There's
hey,
something about you, mate. Something about you.
that was a good old day, that was
Oh, I
quite
think that's more recent as well, mate. You carry on.
I never see outside my four walls these days, mate. She mentioned tungsten to me. I thought she meant the metal, and I'm thinking, what the hell are you talking about? And it happened that she used to work in commercial and in procurement. Hi, Sally, you're right. And she used to work in procurement, and so she sort of understood e-invoicing and stuff. So she was like raving about this stock, but it was very much the sort of Bitcoin of his day back, you know, I don't know, what was it, 10, 15 years ago? And it went absolutely bonkers. And of course, those of us who've been around a while are looking at it, scratching our heads, thinking, what the hell is the excitement about this? It makes no money whatsoever. We're not even sure if it's ever going to make any money. And everyone was just going bonkers about it. And the CEO, I'm pretty sure his name was Ed Truell, he was so rampant on the goddamn thing. You know what I mean? He just appeared everywhere, and it was being promoted to the hill. And it went up and up and up and up. And hopefully a lot of people made good money on it because they were good traders and sold at a good point and had a strategy and all the rest of it. But I'm sure millions of people were left holding the baby and got taken to the cleaners. And the poor old thing, it's been trying to recover for, I don't know, five years or more. And it's been in sort of rehab, and it's had all new management and all the rest of it. And they were sort of gradually getting it, you know, heading the right sort of direction very, very slowly. But now the takeover's come, so it sort of ends a the Sorry saga, really, doesn't it, in a way?
It does. It was one of those stocks, Pete, nearer to £4, £3.80-ish, right, in September 2014. And it's been trading in a range from 37 pence, since 2016, 70 pence, right, to 25 pence in January 2019. And it's just been trading in that range. It's gone nowhere. And market cap's currently sub 50 million. They've had an offer. There may be other people interested in it. But it's just
I'm not sure they will.
But it's not done the business, Pete. Simply hasn't just generated enough revenues. And the whole point was to digitize and automate complex invoicing processes and drive strategic business benefits. Hasn't happened. Reducing costs
everything.
And creating costs and generating revenue. It hasn't generated enough revenue for itself. You know, hasn't gone out of its own way.
It was a very, very, very sad saga. Hey, mate, I want to talk about a strategy thing that is a very, very well-known strategy. And it's got an incredibly good record of working, and it could be an interesting thing for listeners to look into.
Is it one that you want to expand on, Pete? You're going to talk about briefly and expand another time? Because we're 58 minutes in now.
Mate, it's a 2 second. I'm talking about stocks. And all it is a good old fashioned one that in quarter one, so we're talking January, February, March, house builders tend to do well. And it's got a record of something like 24 years out of the last 28, house builders have risen in those first 3 months. I've no idea why it happens. It's probably something to do with people looking to the spring and all that kind of thing in the summer when construction picks up. Yeah, because a lot of construction building probably slows down over the winter because of the weather. It's just harder to do a lot of the work and things get more pushed towards the summer. Obviously, we've got all the political shenanigans, so that may affect it. But we have political shenanigans every year. So, you know, hopefully that takes out part of it. But I just think house builders in general tend to do well. I hold myself VTY, Vistry. And I've also inherited, I sort of got through a long, long, complicated story. I got a ridiculously small position in Crest Nicholson, CRST. Maybe I'll add to that. I haven't really decided what I'm going to do. It's so small, I don't know why I bother having it. House builders are something to look into, and there's all sorts of companies like your Bovises and your Barclays and your so many Springfield Properties, is it a Scottish one, I think? And you know, there's just billions of the goddamn things, Bovis, and I think to a large extent you could almost buy any of them and it will probably work just as well for this Q1 strategy. But, you know, but of course it comes with the flip side that once you get to the sort of end of March or whatever, then maybe you want to think about selling it or whatever you want to do. But that's your decision. You make your trading plan and what you want to do, isn't it?
That's a nice thing to share, Pete. I think it's good for the people that want to trade, but also gives people some insights as to, you know, possibly to spend a bit of time over the Christmas break to research some of the ones that are dividend paying. So you get a dividend as well if they come out with really good news in the next three months.
I mean, divvies are immense with these things. I mean, obviously you've got a lot of risk. You know, they have a lot of cyclical risk. When we have recessions and bad times, they get murdered. The shares really, I mean, you remember them back in the credit crunch crisis, they were shocking. But since the credit crunch, which was, fingers crossed, hopefully a very, very unusual event, and it particularly affected lending and borrowing and banking and house building and all that, mortgages and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, maybe when you have other recessions, it won't be quite as severe as that was, but they do have this real cyclical risk. I like Inland, INL. I don't hold that, but that's another one that's quite interesting. And as you say, they have most of these, Inland doesn't, but most of these stocks have blinking juicy dividends, like 6, 7, 8% or kind of thing.
Pete, you've done it again, mate.
Oh, no, I've just...
I was hoping we were going to get through this without you mentioning one of my stocks,
epic.
Which I wasn't going to talk about until the summer. But yeah, I'll have to disclose that one now. And I have just recently bought Inland with a view to
being
a heavy and significant discount to its actual sum of the parts. So yeah,
sorry, mate.
Oh dear, oh dear.
That's
the nature of having these discussions, Pete. But yeah, I like the management. I like what they're involved in. It's one of those stocks I know from old. They used to pick up all of the MOD properties, Pete, and then regenerate them. So they've got a large land bank, and I'm looking for them to actually get off their knees, in a sense of the portfolio of resources that they've got exposed to actually values realized over the next 12 months to 2 years. So I don't know if the bottom's in. I've only just only recently purchased it, but I'm looking to buy that and hold that through different cycles over the next 2 or 3 years, and hopefully value is released. So it's a long-term hold for me. It's not a trade. It's not a buy now, selling spring sort of thing. But that's one I hold. So that's disclosure there.
I know.
I'm not planning on talking about my stocks on this put and this on this as much going forward.
Simon Thompson is a big fan of this, you know, from the Investors Chronicle, and he was saying not that long ago that the net asset value was around £1. And at the moment, they're selling for 49.5p. It's got a forecast PE showing on SharePad of 11, dropping to 7.1 2 years out. It's not showing any dividend, but that seems a bit strange to me because last year they paid out 1.1% dividend. So I suspect there's a tiny little dividend you're going to get with it. But as you said, I think one of the interesting things on this stock, I think it could be taken over. I mean, it's only 113 million market cap. And we've seen in history, we've seen lots of consolidation in the house building sector over the years. And you think about it, there's not many small house builders sort of left in a way. And Inland's probably the smallest of them, you know, a smallest sort of decent listed one. So that could be an interesting takeover possibility, I would think.
Yeah, that's an outside thing, but definitely a possibility. As you say, the land bank's there, and what do people need as builders? They need the land bank. So if you can buy the land bank on the cheap rather than at market prices, why not purchase inland? But yeah, it's a possibility there.
I guess it depends on the management a lot, because I can't remember what the name of the CEO is, or the chairman, whatever it is, but he's like really been involved in the company for Stephen somebody, I'm sure it is. He's been involved in the company for a very long time. And it probably depends on what he wants to do with it. If he decides it's now time to sell it, then it'll probably get a takeover. But if he sort of doesn't want to sell it and he just wants to stay in charge of it, then it'll probably stay independent for some time yet.
I think he's the sort of person, Pete, that hasn't got any reason why he needs to sell it just now.
Stephen Wicks, is it? I think something like that. Sure, that's his name.
He's not going to be in a rush to get out of there, mate. So I don't see him selling for a little while.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Hostile bid.
yeah. We shall see. I'm hoping to be holding it for a little while, for a little while yet. But interesting land bank. I'm more concerned about that. So we will see.
Because it was primarily a land buyer, wasn't it, really?
Yes, like I said, he's getting most of their stuff from the MOD.
Mm. So, and then it moves into the sort of house building bit itself on top of the land building. But it used to be really just about land purchase.
Yes, Stephen with a P, Pete. Stephen Desmond Wicks.
Yeah. E-K-E-S at the end, yeah. I think it is.
Oh, wow. Well.
Okay. What else have you got, mate? We're going to just wrap this up now after a couple more. What else next?
Well, do you know what? Rather than doing a stop, mate, can I just throw in a very quick topic? And it is a very quick one, but it's related to what I said earlier about a lot of people have had a tough year this year, and it's been one of the weirdest years I've ever known in the market. I honestly, for me personally, it's felt like the first, up until, say, September, was probably the easiest investing market I'd ever known. It was like anything I held went up, and I never didn't have to do anything, and it was just so goddamn easy. And then things got a lot tougher, and it's been quite a tough, you know, last few months and whatever. And as we're talking on the 15th of December, I'm just literally crossing my fingers, hoping I can hold on to the profits I've amassed for the year. I want to close the books off on the 31st of December and just move on to a new year and start again. Do you know what I mean?
You and many other people.
Such a weird year. But anyway, I just wanted to mention something about the average. You know, when you think about what a stock market average is, you know, because it is literally, you know, it is literally an average, right? That's how ridiculous is that. But when you think of the FTSE 100, the FTSE 250, you know, they're all averages. So what you've got to remember is that when you see people on Twitter who are good investors, good traders, and they have done well and brilliant, fair play to them. So people are up 20%, 30%, 40%. That's fantastic, you know, and I'm not knocking that at all. And that's brilliant. And you know, I've done okay. I'm sure you've done well, Pete, and whatever. But what people need to bear in mind is that because of the way averages work, because there are people who've done 40% or done 60%, there will by definition be people who are down 40, 50, 60%. And you know, it's like you see these people who've achieved 30, 40, 50%, whatever they've done. That takes skill to do. It doesn't just happen with no effort. You know what I mean? You've got to work goddamn hard to do that, and you've got to respect those that kind of effort and the kind of returns they've achieved and whatever. And you've got to try and understand how they're doing it and what they're doing that enables them to get these returns. And if you're finding that you're losing, you know, you're down 20% on the year because you're with the way the averages work, you're one of the guys who hasn't people, girls, boys, whatever, who haven't done so well. You know, it's you've got to sort of understand what's going on there and just look at how you can improve things, really.
I think that's a very, very good point, Pete. The additional thing I would add to that as well is the fact of having a look at what these individuals have been doing to attain those outlier outperformances of the averages. We've spoken about the FTSE being down 1% year to date, FTSE 250 being down X amount of percent. Most of our UK indices are down. The US markets are up year to date and will be probably by the time we close out for the year. Mm. The individuals that are plus 25, 35, 40, 50% year to date, some of them have taken risk, significant risk. You know, some of them are involved in small, sometimes speculative, you know, low volume FTSE and AIM stocks. Some of them have added to that percentage by way of leveraged plays that they've done, whether that be spread betting and all or otherwise. And some of them have just been extremely, extremely skillful, you know, in their own right. And
you know what I think.
And you just let me finish. And you've got to credit those individuals that have done and outperformed the market averages. You know, I've there's some people out there that have done 15, 17, 20%. And they've done that by taking low risk. They've got dividend paying stocks. They've bought and sold and bought and done whatever they've done. They've traded effectively, you know, whilst holding a core element of their portfolio in stocks. And they've outperformed the vast number of people that have clustered in these very well-known stocks. And the individuals that are in those stocks that were championed at the beginning of the year, the vast majority of those stocks have underperformed the market, Pete. The momentum's just come out of the wind has come out of those sales. They're down. The most revered stocks are mostly down year to date. So if you've got that as your top within your top five holdings, your portfolio is weak and going to be underperforming. If you've got a very small concentrated portfolio of all the well-known stocks that everyone else has got, you're going to be down this year. Next year, you could do much better because it might be your turn again for the stocks to do well. But you have to then critique your weighting and critique your analytical viewpoint of those stocks and say, which of these stocks are going to fare well over the next 3 months, 3 years? Is it worth keeping hold of these stocks? Has the momentum or the journey of this stock, is it over with? You know, do I need to be finding another home for this particular amount of money and sell out of this stock now?
Yeah.
You know, very, very careful of thinking, you know, we talked about Boohoo earlier. Everyone's waiting and waiting for that to bounce, Pete. And at some point it will bounce. But will it be bouncing from £1.40 odd, which is what it is now? Or will it be bouncing from £1? I don't know the answer to that. But at some point or other, if this management is any good at Boohoo, for instance, it will and should bounce back, but no one knows when.
Is it going to be
you know, are the Americans going to be calling that a UK meme stock? I don't know.
It could be a long way. I mean, it's interesting, again, back to this averages thing. I think that, you know, the people who've done well this year, who've got 20, 30, 40%, I think they've done that really for it's interesting because it's a year that has sifted out the skill from the luck. I think last year in 2020, which was a very difficult year, I think the people who came out with games last year, a hell of a lot of that was down to luck. There was a big luck element involved in people's games last year. I think this year, if you've achieved a game, it's been done through skill, because I think the luck has been totally taken out of it. You could not have lucked yourself into a 20-30% gain this year. It would have been completely impossible, unless you had one stock and it happened to do okay.
I completely agree with you, Pete. And unfortunately, some of the individuals that are on Twitter and other spaces have been found out, in a sense of, you know, regarding the stocks that they've been essentially ramping. And hopefully that will educate some of the people that fell for the ramp, and they will go away now and do their own research. You know, I don't think we should be in the place of blaming other people for our selections, because no one forced you or me over the button to buy that particular stock.
Exactly.
And people say, oh, but X, Y, and Z influenced me. You're only influenced by that person if you want to be influenced by that person, you know. So don't buy something, unless you are happy to buy it. Don't buy something unless you've researched it yourself. Don't buy something unless you've got conviction in that stock. Don't sell something just because the person who you followed into it sold it. You know what I mean? And that's what's happening.
And Joe, you were saying there about, you used the word analytical to analyze, and it's so important. It's like one of the things that I always do this time of year, and I quite enjoy doing it because I'm a bit sort of nuts like this. I am, like I said, I'm looking now to close out the books for 2021. And fingers crossed, hopefully my performance will be quite okay. And I'll then be looking at that and analysing that and thinking, well, you know, what got me to that performance? What did I do well? What did I do badly? What do I need to improve on? How much did luck come into it? I think this year luck's played a very small part. You know, what did I do well? What did I do? What did I do? I'll tell you what did I do that was a bit skin of my teeth? You know, I've got a couple of stocks that are very big positions and they've done well for me. But I perhaps have to admit that it was a bit skin of the teeth. You know what I mean? If something had gone wrong, it could have kicked my ass really badly. And that's something I'm sort of thinking about more for the future, to perhaps get a bit more better.
I think we should close it here, Pete. I think what we should do on our last podcast of the year is talk about the learning of 2021. I think Absolutely. That'd be an absolute brilliant topic to cover some stocks and talk about your learning of 2021 and my learning of 21. Absolutely. How we're going to improve, how we're going to try and tweak, how we're going to think differently. Yeah. Because you and I want to learn and get better at this game, Pete. Yeah. Okay. And I know lots of our listeners do too. And I think if we can share some of our learning, our mistakes and all the other stuff that we've happened this year, then that will help other people. And I think what we'll also encourage people to do is probably send Pete and myself some tweets to say, this has been my learning. This has been the mistakes that I've learned. This is what I've learned from. And we can also compress and share some of that on the actual podcast and give all of you a shout out as to what your learnings have been and how the markets have been for you. We'll do that on the next podcast. I think that'd be a great way to finish 2021 and roll into 2022. And, you know, all between now and middle of January, if my voice changes, it's because it's been laced with mince pies, because I'll be that's my advice. Apart from rum, obviously, I'll be eating lots and lots of mince pies. That's what I've already started doing, mate. So, yeah. So next time you hear from us, folks, you would have already enjoyed your Christmas.
Hopefully, podcast
65 even. So until then, please take care of yourselves. Please enjoy the best that you possibly can of Christmas regarding your friends, family, and do what you can in the communities that you're in. Pete and I are going to do our best to try and share this podcast out on Friday, and we're going to put part two out probably a couple of days later, so they won't go out simultaneously. If you enjoyed Katerina in part one, please, please follow her account and learn from her and learn a bit more about the metaverse, crypto, NFTs, and so on and so on and so forth. And also general investing and what's life like down under and living in Sydney. She's well worth a listen. Very, very sharp, smart woman and a very, very lovely individual. So until we speak to you again, take care. God bless. Keep safe. Are you going to say goodbye, Pete?
Thanks, bye. Yeah, it's so funny. My brain was completely off in another tangent.
Oh dear. Yeah, the one time I want you to talk and you're silent, that just says it all, doesn't it?
mate, we've been going for several hours. I am drained.
Okie dokie. All right, everyone. Take care. God bless. Have a fantastic Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy New
Year. Bye-bye, folks. Jingle, jingle, all the way.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.